Holla holla.
This is the Freedom Fiends. And Nima Vidati is not coming to you live today. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting in Bunker Vision from Wyoming. And Nima Vidati is in the FEMA camp or Gitmo, I forget which, because he was playing golf with Obama. This is what I heard. He was playing golf with Obama in the Bahamas, and he said something Obama didn't like, and Obama threw him in the camp, and they won't let Nima out of the camp until he signs the social contract. So filling in, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing there, Bad Quaker?
I'm doing good, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah? Where are you broadcasting from?
I am broadcasting from high atop the 23rd story of the Bad Quaker Towers in Central Ohio.
Is that a Rush reference? That sounds like Rush's intro. But
I'm sure I stole it from somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about the anarchist roots of the Republican Party, because Harry Reid is on a tear calling Republicans anarchists, or calling the Tea Party anarchists. And they're anything but there actually is some background via Barry Goldwater through a back door in the 60s when I was born from actual anarchism into the Tea Party. But they're only walking the talk and not really – they're talking the talk and not really walking the walk. So I'm going to open here by playing a couple clips. This first one is from 5 months ago. Harry Reid is back at it. But he started this 5 months ago. This is from a Sean Hannity clip. And Hannity's basically saying, no, the real anarchists are Occupy Wall Street because they're violent. And violence does not an anarchist make. And they are not anarchists because they want lots of laws. And an anarchist means someone who wants an absence of government. But here we go. And this is kind of interesting.
Across the country, supporters of the Occupy Wall Street movement rioted in celebration. They called for, among other things, death to capitalism. Now, Seattle saw some of the worst violence. Police arrested 11 adults, 2 juveniles, as protesters were there throwing bottles, other items at law enforcement officers and news crews. And while these anarchists were spreading their havoc, liberal mouthpiece Senator Harry Reid doubled down on his stupidity that members of the Tea Party are the anarchists. Now, his remarks came during a radio interview with my friend Rusty Humphreys.
Do you think the Tea Party are anarchists, that we don't want any government at all?
I believe that my experience with the Tea Party is they're against government any form. They do throw monkey wrenches into the government. It's evident we can't get things done. They don't want anything to happen in government. I mean, we pass laws. They fight funding the laws we pass. Mm-hmm. They don't want government to work. I want it to work.
Now, Harry Reid should have turned his TV set on yesterday, because Tea Party members, they were not the ones rioting
in
the streets.
Yeah, yeah. And then Hannity says, that's not anarchy. They're not rioting in the streets. The word anarchy has come to mean something other than what it is. Ben, explain what anarchist means, and then explain what people think it means and why it doesn't mean that.
Well, there's some disagreement as to its actual Greek roots. The roots of the Greek words that make up the word anarchist or anarchy. I look at it. I've had a little bit of scholarship in Greek, but I failed out. So let's get that disclaimer out of the. But I look at it as it's anarchy. The latter half of that word coming from the same word that we get hierarchy. And so it's a form of order. It's, you know, it could be the way that you stack books on a shelf, or the way that you order, the way that you put them in order to have so that you can reference where they're at. It doesn't necessarily mean authority. It means order. And the beginning of that, of the word anarchy, is not anti-archy. A lot of people, let me go back to the latter half.
It's an absence of archy.
Well, it's like animation. It's self-ordered. So a lot of people translate the word anarchy as meaning self-law or against law. But it's not against law. That would be anti Lagos, actually. But it's not that. It's not against hierarchy. It's self-ordered, so it's not really. But oftentimes, people assume that it means, you know, against order or against law. But the anarchists actually are very pro-law. They're just not wild about other people making their laws.
Thank you. Now let's play this more recent from this week clip of Harry Reid saying that the anarchists have taken over the pantry. In that one from May, he was basically saying the House has been taken over by anarchists. And now he's saying the House and the Senate have been taken over by anarchists. And interesting, that one that we just played was Harry Reid on the Rusty Humphrey show. And I heard, I think in Talkers magazine, that Rusty Humphrey's got dropped off the air the other day for like mid show for complaining about the talk radio industry. His network allegedly cut him off mid sentence and put on a best of. And I don't think he's been live since then. So he's been disappeared from media. But here we go with C-SPAN, Harry Reid speaking from the floor of the Senate.
Yeah. And, it's not playing for some reason. Come on, come on, come on.
Well, you know, there you go. The free market video played. The government C-SPAN video didn't play. I guess that's proof that anarchy might be the answer. But that's not what Harry Reid says, and we're not saying it either. But here we go.
Research. Others must begin in the place we live and work. Now, Mr. President, a lot of happy talk about what a great piece of legislation this is. And it is, even though I've worked with Senator Shaheen and Senator Portman, oh, there will be no amendments. We got them all. We got all bipartisan amendments. Of course, we're diverted totally from what this bill is all about. Why? Why, Mr. President? Because the anarchists have taken over. They've taken over the House. Now they're here in the Senate. The Speaker couldn't pass a simple CR today. When asked at a press event yesterday, as I was reported to me on the news today, they said, what's next? He said, you have a couple ideas, give them to me, they'll be shot down also. We're in a position here where people who don't believe in government, and that's what the Tea Party's all about, are winning. That's a shame. There's not been a single amendment allowed to be offered in this legislation that has anything dealing with energy. Oh, all kinds of different issues. Defund Obamacare.
So basically, this is interesting to me, is that lawmakers are measured by how many laws they pass. And regardless of whether the laws are good or not, if they don't pass a lot of laws, some people think they're not doing their job. Now, Harry Reid was a boxer in college. Someone suggested, Lusander Fien, one of the Fien's admins and bloggers, has suggested that maybe Reid took too many hits to the head as a boxer, or maybe he also suggested that perhaps Nevada has legalized LSD. I don't know, but Harry Reid's sounding nutty. I mean, why are these people not anarchists, Ben? Why is he wrong?
Well, the idea that an anarchist could be in high levels of government is a bit goofy. It's kind of like saying it's kind of like calling the Pope Jewish, or saying that, you know, the Dalai Lama is a Christian. I mean, it's like it's quite opposite of reality. You really have to you have to go down a rabbit hole pretty far to get into the world of imagination where that can be logical. And logical is the key here, because what Harry Reid is doing is he's taking a pile of logical fallacies and just throwing them at the microphone, hoping that nobody, you know, is bright enough to call him out on it. It's name calling, it's guilt by association. I mean, you could just go right down the line and show how illogical his statements are.
Now, you said that you couldn't be an anarchist and be in high levels of government, but wasn't Ron Paul influenced by a lot of anarchists?
He was. You know, he was good friends with Murray Rothbard, who was a anarcho-capitalist. And that kind of throws out a word that puts a twist on it, because a lot of anarchists are socialists, and they reject the idea that there can be anarcho-capitalists. But somebody you talked about on the show recently, Carl Hess, wrote an article sort of condemning the idea of dividing anarchists into all these different abbreviations of capitalists and socialists and everything. And
called Anarchism Without Hyphens, I think, is the name of the short article he wrote.
Really good article.
And Carl Hess, that sounds like a communist name, and he did spell it with a K, but that's because his dad thought that it looked stronger than a C. He thought C's looked like they were being lazy and K's looked like they were stretching and being bold. So, yeah, it's not a communist name. He was Filipino, and there are a lot of pictures of him with a beard speaking from a podium in front of palm trees, which kind of looks Castro-like, but, he's not a communist. He basically was one of those people that, had an open mind about all philosophies and political, ideologies, and went through a bunch of them, went through the left, then went to the right, and then ended up basically an anarcho-capitalist after reading Murray Rothbard. Now, the interesting thing, he does play a big role in the fact that there is an anarchist basis root behind the Tea Party, which is that he was a speechwriter for Barry Goldwater. And Barry Goldwater is often considered kind of the modern father of the Libertarian Party. And basically, he had a lot of ideas that were constitutional. He wasn't a warmonger, although he did talk about bombing Vietnam back to the Stone Age with a nuke to end the war. Was he serious when he said that?
It's kind of hard to tell. You know, there's a lot of people on the extreme right wing that think that way, you know, and they can be perfectly comfortable thinking that way. And there are a lot of people who will just sort of like, what do you call it? Macho libertarian.
Macho Republican flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it could have been that was, you know, a Republican version of the same thing. It's like you want war. Let's do it right. Let's really, you know, take all.
Yeah. I kind of think it was. I think it was kind of a thought experiment of like, you know, you guys want war. Why don't you really have a war? Like, yeah, shut up or get off the pot, whatever. But, and it actually lost him the election. This was in 1964. He was running against LBJ. Was it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was the year I was born. And my wife's father worked for Goldwater and went door to door trying to get people to vote for him. And when Goldwater lost, my wife's father basically thought American politics were dead. And we'll come back with more about the anarchist roots of the Republican Party when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole. Collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Harry Reid says the anarchists have taken over the Senate. And a friend of ours wonders if LSD has been legalized in Nevada or if Harry Reid took too many hits to the head as a boxer. What do you think, Ben? Do you think it's that or something else?
I think it's just blatant name calling and guilt by association. He's just saying anything that he can to try to push the other senators to do what he wants them to do.
What does he want them to do?
He wants them to cooperate with him and agree with him and do pass everything laws that Obama wants him to do. Make more and more laws.
That's your job. You're a lawmaker. Make some laws, darn it.
So we're just one more law away from utopia.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? Statists always think we're about three laws away from perfection. I want to play a little bit of Robert Anton Wilson and Carl Hess at the 1986 Libertarian Convention. And this is a stunningly long video. We're not going to play the whole thing of it. It's 2.5 hours and it's very awesome. And I will link it later in the show notes. I do want to add that if you are a Freedom Fiends fan and you can't find us on the radio one day because we're preempted for football or something, you can go to freedomfiends.com. You should bookmark that site. There's a streaming link for our live shows. And there is also there are archives of all of our previous shows. So let's listen to Wilson and Hess from 1986 a little bit. And remember, Hess was a speechwriter for Goldwater.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
More and technology.
There's no audio on that. Nima is usually our board op, our local board op. And I don't know where Nima went. He seems to have disappeared. So basically the premise of this is, here we go.
Bravos in it were very angry at the CIA, and they wondered what they could do to irritate them. And,
this is Hess.
So I suggested, well, hell, why don't you go out to the CIA, to the entrance to it, and take down every license number of a car driving in, and then go to the license bureau, check the names, and publish them. Which they did, and it just it just irritated the CIA terribly. But I discovered in later years, I believe there were three young people involved in it. One of them was a CIA agent.
That's right. There's an old Middle European proverb. When four sit down to conspire, three of them are government agents, and the fourth is a damn fool.
And the guy that first spoke, Carl Hess, was a speechwriter for Goldwater. And as we said, Goldwater influenced the modern Republican Party and the Tea Party a lot. And Goldwater, as politicians went, was a good guy, probably. He was a Republican, but he was very, very fiscally conservative. He wasn't into running the world and being the world's police. He didn't care about gay people being together. He didn't care about young people taking drugs. And he had a speechwriter that was that admits in this video he was often on hashish while writing speeches for Goldwater. And there's a quote that's attributed to Goldwater that is being quoted a lot again these days, and I like the quote a lot. It's, I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in pursuit of justice is no virtue. And that's attributed to Goldwater, but it was actually put in front of him by his speechwriter, Carl Hess, who was actually paraphrasing something by Cicero, who was one of the ancient Greek or Roman senators. Now, Cicero was not an anarchist, but the Greeks did believe in freedom, but freedom only for the citizen class. And they had a serf class, which wasn't allowed those freedoms. And they're kind of trying to go back there that way with the government these days. I think what they want to do is get as many people loyal to and working for the government as possible and make everyone else the serf class. What do you think of that, Ben?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you even read progressive, the things that progressives were writing around 1900, they were fairly clear about that as their plan. They were fairly clear about reducing the population of undesirables, people that they felt were undesirable, and moving, you know, the working class into more of a slave type position while the ruling class got to eat the cake, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So Carl Hess was basically an anarchist, a market anarchist or anarcho-capitalist, and he wrote some of the feistiest lines that Goldwater is remembered for. Now, Goldwater didn't win. He lost the election in 1964, the year I was born. And like I said, my father-in-law basically said, America is dead. We can't change it with politics now. It's not going to work. And gave up. And a lot of people think that the Tea Party was going back to when America was good. And I think the America they were trying to go back to was Barry Goldwater's vision of America. And we'll have more on this on The Fiends when we come back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. Hi, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing there?
Hey, Michael. Pretty good.
Good. We're talking about the anarchist roots of the Republican Party. Harry Reid, if you're just joining us, Harry Reid, Senator, recently complained, and back in May complained, that the House and then the Senate had been taken over by the anarchists, or as Mr. Burns said in The Simpsons, there are anarchists in the pantry. And they're really not anarchists, but we're talking about the actual anarchist roots of the GOP, of the modern Tea Party, but how it's just in name only, ANOs, anarchists in name only, or not in name only. Not in name, not in my name, says Harry Reid, not in my Senate. So basically,
how about in rhetoric?
In rhetoric. In rhetoric there only. You go. There you go. Yeah, like Michelle Bachmann saying she likes to relax reading Mises on the beach, and she probably doesn't know who Mises is. She probably had an advisor who said, Ron Paul said that, and he's getting popular, so say that. So a lot of people say that Barry Goldwater didn't really lose the election in 64. He did win, but it took him 17 years. And what that means is that Ronald Reagan, who at one point had been literally a Hollywood liberal, he was an actor, not a very good one in Hollywood, who was a Democrat, and he's on record as saying that, but he wanted to be president, and he was an actor, so I guess he was willing to look around and see what scripts he can use, and he basically picked up Goldwater's script, and a lot of Goldwater's followers went and rallied behind Reagan, who became governor of California in 67, and then the 40th president of the United States in 1981, and his rhetoric was very Barry Goldwater. It was very anti-federal government. It was very pro-small government. It was very not be the police of the world. And then, of course, he was elected and did the complete opposite. He raised taxes. He added gun laws. You know, he went around the world being the police of the world.
Revitalized the drug war.
Revitalized the drug war. Yeah, had his wife pose on a tank in South Central Los Angeles. And, of course, the drug war leads to the war on guns, and it's run by the same people. And the drug war is just training for taking your guns away. Yeah, so Goldwater didn't really lose. He won through Reagan later. And Reagan was using ideologies that Carl Hess, an American market anarchist, had put in the mouth of Goldwater. And what are your memories of Reagan? Do you remember when he ran versus when he was president? Because when he ran, he was saying things like, one of my favorite quotes from him is the most dangerous sentence, something like the most dangerous sentence in the English language is, we're from the government and we're here to help you, which sounds like an anarchist. It sounds like stuff the Tea Party says now. It sounds like stuff Ron Paul says, but he didn't believe it. He liked to send the government to do things. What are your memories of Reagan? You were alive.
Yeah, well, I actually remember when back in the late 60s, as governor of California, I remember Ronald Reagan sicking
when
the
you
military.
Were governor. When you were governor, you said as governor of California.
Oh, I meant Reagan as governor of California. Yeah. He sicked the military, the National Guard, on war protesters, and there's some pretty vivid memories of that happening. I was living right in the California Bay Area when that was going on as a little kid, having, you know, finding out that the governor of the state that I lived in was turning the military on kids because they didn't go on, didn't want to go fight in a war.
They didn't want to be slaves, basically. And there's a lot of conservatives who are really upset about draft card burning. But those are the same conservatives and the same type of conservatives who now are like, we don't want to do what the government tells us to do, you know?
Yeah, and then later on when Reagan ran for presidency in the 1980
election,
yeah. He had all the right words. He had all the right phrases. He said everything libertarian. He said everything, you know, towards freedom and towards independence and all the wonderful phraseology that he used. But very shortly after being elected, he did the exact opposite of what he talked about. And a good example of that is the B-1 bomber program. Before he was elected, he was against it. Until he was elected, then he was for it.
That's like Obama. Obama was against military intervention until he had the keys to the war, and now he's all for it.
I think it goes back to what you mentioned about Michelle Bachmann, about how handlers hand them phrases and they very carefully say the right words and say the right phrases. But they don't even, many times they don't even know what they're talking about. I think that was probably the case with Goldwater a lot of times when he was saying Hess's words.
Yeah, I think that a lot of presidents and heads of state and people who attempt to be heads of state, the things that they're most remembered for, you know, are put in front of them on a piece of paper or a teleprompter. People make fun of Obama for being the teleprompter president, but it's not new. I mean, before teleprompters, they would type stuff up. Of course, back then, people could actually memorize speeches, but they didn't usually write them. And I think that was what was going on with Hess and Goldwater. And then Hess's type of ideology, or at least his talk, got watered down and filtered down to Reagan. And Reagan sounded like an anarchist. I mean, it sounds like you don't like the government when you say the most dangerous, you know, words in the English language are, we're from the government and we're here to help you. When he's in charge of being the government that's here to, quote unquote, help the heck out of people and spread the heck out of, you know, bomb the heck out of people to give them democracy in other countries. Yeah, Reagan was not really a friend of freedom. And I'm surprised that so many Republicans today, Tea Party types, just consider him a saint and invoke his name in hushed tones when he really wasn't that much of a friend of freedom. He might have been a friend of big business, but he wasn't really a friend of individual freedom. He added gun laws. He added taxes. He added wars. He added the war on drugs, which even if you don't take drugs, you should be against because it adds to the war on everything else. I mean, the SWAT type raid of kicking in a door and throwing a flashbang to take peaceful people out of their home was basically invented by the Nazis, perfected by the American war on drugs, and will be used by some president at some point, probably to do the same thing for people who don't want to sign up for government health care or don't want to pay their taxes. Now, Hess was also a tax protester. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, he was. He crossed the IRS in a pretty rough way, and they put a 100% lien on all of his future earnings.
I said that to Nima, and Nima was like, 100% lien? Is that a thing? I'm like, apparently.
Yeah, they literally took everything he owned and forced him to he taught himself welding so that he could barter for, you know, for a living, for food and so forth.
Yeah, but he kept writing, and he says in that video that you know, he finally found out that he likes writing so much that he'll do it even if all the money is taken from him. You know, they don't usually do 100% liens anymore. They've figured out it's not efficient. They want to keep you able to go to work and make more money for them, because otherwise you'll just end up on welfare. It's kind of like a loan shark. You know, a loan shark will break your legs, but he won't break your hands because you want to be he wants you to be able to work to pay him back.
With Hess, they took a particularly nasty turn with him. They even went to his mother's house when she was elderly. and basically told her, you know, we hope you're healthy. We hope you don't die right away, because if you die, we're going to take everything you have. We're not going to let it go to Hess.
Yeah, which really was probably not a good plan on their part strategically, because if she had money, you know, not her in particular, but if a mother had money and liked her son and was near death and was told by the government, we're going to take it, she would, it would increase her chance to have a reason to just secretly slip him some money under the table before she died, or some assets.
Yeah, and maybe even it was an attempt to get her to do that so they could catch her. That's kind of what I've thought about it.
Well, Hess has a really good story in, that he tells in this video that I believe is true, where he says that at one point, someone he didn't know very well came up to him and offered him a gift of a submachine gun. And Hess said, I was intrigued. I only had one submachine gun. I would have liked to have had more, but I didn't know the guy and I thought it was a setup. So I said no. And a few years later, the same guy found me and tried to give me a submachine gun again. And I said, no, that's illegal. And a few years later, that guy had quit working for the FBI and didn't like that he'd worked for the FBI and told Hess, yeah, I was working for the FBI. We were trying to set you up.
That's quite a statement, too, for somebody to admit like that. But he has a couple stories where similar things to that happened.
Yeah, he was he operated outside of the law in a lot of ways, in ways that weren't violent to other people. But, you know, he didn't have much respect for nanny laws. And remember, this was a guy who was writing the speeches for Barry Goldwater, who influenced everything the Tea Party is now through Reagan. Now, it went through Reagan. You know, Reagan was all talk, no walk. And it kind of trickled down to the Tea Party. Now, where the Tea Party came from was Ron Paul, who actually did get it. See, Ron Paul was reading Mises, an American anarchist, and Hess was reading Mises, an American anarchist. But all the people that were getting it filtered down weren't really going to the source. They weren't going to the well. It's kind of how, like, you know, all those rock bands in the 60s listened to the old black blues guys and put it into rock and roll, like The Who and Led Zeppelin. And then there were bands that copied them and weren't very good because they didn't go to the source. You know, they didn't go to what their masters went to. They took the filtered down version of it, and that doesn't work as well. So Reagan spoke this long talk and acted like a small government guy, but was really a big government guy. And then Clinton came along and did the opposite of everything. He wanted to increase government. He didn't even talk the talk. He just said, like, we need more government. He outlawed, you know, he passed the assault weapons ban, which basically created the Patriot movement, the Prepper movement. And the Prepper movement was influenced by the hippies, you know, the Back to the Land movement, the Mother Earth, Whole Earth Catalog, Mother Jones. And the Whole Earth Catalog was a hippie book, but it had two pages on why you should have weapons, because it was written by Vietnam vets who'd been shot at. And it was not uncommon back then for hippies to have guns, hippies who were peaceful to have guns, because they were back to the land and they lived where there were bears. And some of them were not vegetarians and hunted. But Clinton basically screwed things up to where a lot of conservatives just hated the government and became anti-government. And, you know, then it led to, then we had Bush, who sounded conservative, but was not. He vastly expanded the federal government. And then we ended up with Obama. And, he just said, hey, what we need is more government, more government, more government. Didn't even hide it. Tried to reclaim government from being a dirty word. And, and then you had the Tea Party, which were kind of imitating Ron Paul, but only in word. And we'll have more when we come back on the anarchist roots of the Republican Party.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah. It's the Freedom Fiends on Genesis Communications Network, coming to you live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. So, this is Michael Dean. We got Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker there. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, Michael. I'm doing good.
Good. We were the topic today, and we are going to open it up for callers in the second hour coming up in a few minutes here. But the topic today is the anarchist roots of the Republican Party. So we had explained it through through Hess, through Goldwater, through Reagan, through Clinton, jumped over Clinton. Clinton lit the match under it. And then there was the Tea Party, which basically came out of, in 2007, a bunch of Ron Paul supporters. Now, Ron Paul got it right for a politician. He went back to the source, to Goldwater and beyond, to Rothbard. And there was a protest on Tax Day 2007 by Ron Paul supporters, and they called it a Tea Party protest, you know, going back to the American Tea Party in Boston when they threw tea into the ocean as a government, as a protest against the government's taxation, and that led to the American Revolution. And a bunch of other Republicans saw the attention this got and invented something called the Tea Party. Grover Norquist was a big driving force in that. And I kind of like Grover Norquist. He said that he wanted to reduce the size of government to the point where it could be drowned in a bathtub. And on the Freedom Fiends, we say we want to make fun of government until it feels depressed and drowns itself in the bathtub. It's kind of the same idea, but it's more of a strategy, actually. So, yeah, Grover Norquist, then the Tea Party. And the Tea Party was for the most part, a bunch of Republicans who didn't really get it, but talked the talk and didn't walk the walk. Now, do you want to expand on that, Ben?
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about with Goldwater and with Reagan. They have all the terminology pretty close or correct, but they haven't really thought through, you know, the philosophies that build the terminology. They haven't really taken the thing back to its logical origin, or like you were saying, you know, they didn't go back to the source material. They're just getting wrapped up in what the last guy said and trying to, you know, do their version of Led Zeppelin or whatever.
Or kind of like macho Republican flash one-upmanship. Like, he said that, well, I'll say this. You know, so give some examples, like with Sarah Palin, for instance.
Oh, Sarah Palin is a classic. She had all the terminology in, what was it, 2008 campaign when she ran with McCain. And yeah, she had all the terminology down, and she had all of the perfect Barbie moves. And she, you know, she was just in every way. She was like stamped out of a Republican mold to fit that part. But there was clearly nothing behind it. There was no substance to her actual to her rhetoric, and you could see that even with the work that she had done as governor in Alaska, that it was all a matter of flash to get her elected. And once she got elected, you know, it was pretty much, you know, party as usual, and not the good kind of party as usual.
Yeah, and a lot of the Tea Party took the Goldwater thing, which I think was almost a joke, of saying, well, let's bomb Vietnam back to the Stone Age. Let's nuke those savages or whatever, which I think was basically his way of saying, you know, let's do this or get off the pot, instead of really saying, let's level those people and kill them all. And he said it at a time when it got used against him, because LBJ made an ad that, you know, the little girl crying and picking the flower, and then you see her eye and you see the mushroom cloud in the distance, which is a terrifying image. And it's what he was saying would happen if Goldwater were elected. And that image is actually kind of echoed in the movie Terminator 2, I think, where there's that alternate reality where she sees, you know, the playground being nuked, where Sarah Connor sees that. And I really think that a lot of Republicans kind of picked up on that macho Republican flash line of Goldwater's as truth? Because I've heard a lot of Republicans say we should just nuke the Middle East except for Israel, although you can't really nuke the Middle East except for Israel. But that's something I've heard from a lot of Republicans, from Tea Party people, from commenters on blogs, etc. And we'll be back with more about the anarchist roots of the Republican Party on the Freedom Fiends in hour two, coming up after this trip to the market. Worms. Shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Freedom Fiends. This is Michael W. Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And who do we have on the other end there? Ben.
Hey, this is Ben Stone.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in for Nima Vedati because Nima is off, in a FEMA camp or Gitmo?
Yeah, he went golfing with Obama and in the Bahamas and said something Obama didn't like. And so Nima's in the FEMA camp or Gitmo. We're not sure which, but until he'll sign the social contract. And so far he's refusing to sign the social contract. So it looks like Ben's going to be here tomorrow, too. But Nima should be back by next week. So we've been talking about the anarchist roots of the Tea Party, which was spiked into our brains by something that Harry Reid said. He said, the anarchists are running the government, basically, because no one would vote the way he wanted to. And to him, if you don't want to vote that way, it's anarchy. So we talked about how, in the first hour, about how an actual anarchist, Carl Hess, was a speechwriter for Goldwater and influenced Reagan and then influenced the modern Tea Party, but in rhetoric only, not in actuality. They talk small government and they are big government. You had a point about how that's not just Republicans. Do you want to expand on that, Ben?
Yeah, since the 1960s, really, the left, people who consider themselves liberal have typically been anti-war and they've wanted a transparency in government and they're very, pro First Amendment. We have to keep the right of the freedom of press and all of this rhetoric has been well associated with people on the left and people who call themselves liberal or progressive or whatever. And this was the same kind of rhetoric that not only Clinton, but Clinton used it to a very high level, but Obama had perfected it. When he was running for the president, he used all these phrases. He talked about peace. He talked about transparency of government. He talked about the freedom of the press and how important it was to have an independent media. And yet Obama has given us an increase in the wars that that Bush gave us. Obama has brought us less transparency in government, more spying on individuals, and more government interference in the mass media than anybody in the past. So really what you have, two sides of the same coin here. You have the Democrats who say things that are appealing to the left, but then they govern the, you know, the same way as the people, as the Republicans. And you have the Republicans who say things that appeal to people on the right, the conservatives or the Tea Party type people. But in fact, they govern exactly like the Democrats. So really, it's two sides of the same coin. Or as Barry Goldwater once said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them.
That probably came from Carl Hess, actually.
It may have.
Yeah. And we're going to give out the call-in number here if you're listening live. The number is in America is 1-855-660-4261. That's 855-660-4261. And you can call in and talk about the anarchist roots of the Republican Party. Or if you're a Republican and disagree, we'd love to hear from you at 855-660-4261. Or you can talk about anything you want. And I do have an announcement to make real quick, is that the Freedom Fiends, if you can't hear us for some reason on radio in your town, or if we're preempted for a football game or something, you can go to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom and then Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra.com. You can listen to our 24/7 stream of previous episodes, or you can listen live on the streaming link during our shows on Saturdays and Sundays, or you can listen to our 268, I think it is, back episodes. Yeah, but we also need a C-sharp programmer. So if there are any C-sharp programmers out there, drop us a line at talkback@freedomfiends.com. What is it, Ben? What's up?
Well, I was going to also remind you that if anybody wants to watch this video, are you going to have a link to it? And
that
Freedom Fiends?
Carl Hess and Robert Anton Wilson. Robert Anton Wilson is a very interesting sci-fi writer. I've tried reading his stuff, and it was a little dense for me. A little theoretical. I've generally found that people who like Robert Anton Wilson a lot are generally a little smarter than me. I'm pretty smart, but they're generally a little smarter than me, and they know it. So his average fan, if I could collectivize them, is someone who's ultra smart and really thinks that anyone who's not as smart as them is not worth talking to. But I did sort of name my band after him in a way. I have a side project called Right Arm of Wyoming, and the initials are RAW, R-A-W, which is also Robert Anton Wilson. He also suggested an interesting political strategy back in the day that was kind of half-joking, half-serious. It was the Guns and Dope Party. He basically said in California that if all the people who wanted to smoke dope and all the people who had guns and wanted to keep their guns got together and formed a party, they'd have a majority in California and could do whatever they want and be left alone. And I really believe that there's always been a divide and conquer kind of idea of politicians, of turning the dope smokers against the gun owners. And that's why I made a movie with Nima Vedati called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And you can go to the website gunsandweed.com and watch the whole thing on YouTube, or legally download a torrent of the video or of the DVD ISO, if you know what that is. And we here at the Freedom Fiends give our stuff away. You know, we sell it, we make money, we have ads, we take donations, but we also give everything away. It's kind of a weird new economic model that can work if you work it really hard. Give everything away and still make money. And it's not communist, because we choose to do it. We don't choose that you should do it.
And a quick disclaimer, as you've said before on the air, none of us smoke marijuana. We're not marijuana users. We're not weed users.
No.
We do like guns. I have guns near me right now. I love guns, but no, we're not dopers. We're not potheads. It's just that we see what rights are, and we see that nobody really has the right to tell you what plant you can own or what plant you can grow or possess, any more than they can tell you, you know, how much money you're allowed to have in your pocket or what kind of a gun you're allowed to own.
Absolutely. And Ted Nugent is a good example of one of those talks, the small government talk, but still wants to bomb the Middle East back to the Stone Age and still wants the war on drugs. But he says some really pithy stuff. You know, most of these Tea Party types, I agree with about 30% of the time. I agree with them 100%. And then they don't quite get it the rest of the time, because they're basically being big government people. Their basic premise is government's really bad, so government should only do really important things, is the way I've heard it put. And I was actually the Wyoming chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus for a few years, which is the libertarian part of the Republican Party sort of now. And they're there's a lot of crossover with the Tea Party people. They're generally more libertarian than the Tea Party, but there's a lot of crossover. And I got to the point where I realized that they say if voting changed anything, it would be illegal. And Robert Anton Wilson actually adds to that in this speech. He says that in this talk, he says that if not voting changed anything, it would be illegal too. And I don't know what his strategy was. I can't even tell you what my strategy is other than just make fun of tyranny until it goes away. I actually think that can work. But it's really not my job to have the answers of who would build the roads without the government. I'm not a road builder. I'm not the libertarian central planner. I think Ben is. Aren't you, Ben?
No, not at all. I typically avoid questions like that because, like you just now said, you know, central planning is a self-destructive process. And there are so many people that will agree with that and say, yeah, well, central planning doesn't work. Socialism's been disproven. Mises proved that in his book, Socialism. But then they want to be the central planner, and they want to go ahead and decide, you know, what you can and can't possess, or, you know, what your yard needs to look like, or whether or not, you know, you need to mow your grass at specific times or whatever.
Yeah, like Ted Nugent rants against socialism, and he says some great things. Like one of my favorite quotes from him is, the right to keep and bear arms, or the Second Amendment, means I've got some on me right now. You know, it's not a theoretical thing. And he didn't say it means I have one on me right now. It's I have some guns on me right now. And I don't have any on me right now because I'm sitting here in my shorts, not my underwear, just my shorts, in a chair. But there are several guns within grabbing reach, and there's a rifle within 3 or 4 steps of walking. And so, yeah, I am practicing the right to keep and bear arms right now because the First Amendment is protected by the Second Amendment, which I guess means I have guns, so if someone comes in and tries to take me off the radio, I could shoot him. But I don't want to shoot anybody, man, and I hope it doesn't come to that. And I don't want to have how many angels can shoot who on the head of a pin discussions of, you know, when is it time. I just live my life and I try to be left alone. I guess I'm kind of like a hippie with a gun. But, you know, back to the Republican in name only thing. Everybody that was up there on that dais in the Republican debates, except for Ron Paul, all those people were up there, all 8 or 9 of them up there, except for Ron Paul, were just constantly condemning socialism, which I condemn wholeheartedly. They were condemning socialism and calling Obama a socialist, which is apt. But all of those people up there, except Ron Paul, basically were socialists in one form or another. Now, explain how that is true, Ben.
Well, sure. When we go back to central planning, you know, socialism is defined as the central planning of the economy, the central planning being a small group of people, the idea that a small group of people can understand all the complexities of the economy, and they can know what the demand is going to be and what the price needs to be, or how to eliminate a price and how to eliminate wages and control everything through some type of distribution network. And, you know, that whole process, is based on the idea that there are certain human beings that are somehow smarter than the rest of us and can make all those decisions on our behalf. And most people, when they look at it through logic, they'll disagree with that, and they'll say, no, people are the same. There are some individuals that are more talented in this or in that, but typically speaking, all people are the same. And it's not right for one small committee to have all the say-so, tell me what to wear, what to, you know, what kind of a car I'm allowed to own and drive, where I'm allowed to drive it, where I'm allowed to work, where I'm allowed to live. And yet, even people who reject that level of socialism will still adopt some level of socialism and say, well, we have to have some kind of government controls. We have to have, you know, like you mentioned, the people in the running for the Republican presidency against Ron Paul. To a man and woman, every one of those still wanted the Federal Reserve, which is socialized money.
Yep. And we'll have more from Ben Stone's Distance Learning Liberty series on the Freedom Fiends when we get back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
So much truth, it hurts.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Uh-huh. Live. Freedom. Fiends. Freedom Fiends. And that was the Freedom Fiend. That was the Right Arm of Wyoming song. Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? Going all the way back to 2011. Yep. Hey, Ben Stone. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. We've got Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast filling in. What's up there, Ben Stone?
Hey, nothing much, Michael.
You were talking before the break about how all of the Republicans except Ron Paul on the dais in the last presidential debates who were condemning socialism were actually socialist in some way because they wanted central planning and they thought that certain people should rule over other people. And it kind of goes back to that thing of what Franklin supposedly said after being in the secret back room, smoke-filled room, writing the Constitution. And he came out and some lady asked him, what form of government do we have, Mr. Dr. Franklin? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it, which basically goes back to the Roman and Greek senates, the idea of democracy being an elite ruling class who are elected to make the decisions for the common man. And we're told our whole life that that is the best form of government. Why is that not true, Ben, and what would be the best form of government?
Yeah, actually, Plato literally wrote the book, The Republic, and laid out the theory of government based on a republic and on how democracy could work and how it would interact with a republic. And the whole idea is that there are some people that are, how would we put it, more equal than others,
better.
They're more equal. Yeah. And there are just some people in the world who are intended to rule the rest of us, and they are the decision makers, and we, all the rest of us, should just bow our heads and accept them. And it's not really, you know, there's variations of it that kings and different tyrants have used to prop up themselves and give themselves, you know, some type of authority and cause people to believe that they really had that authority. But it's all really based on this idea that there's some people that are just better than the rest of us, and they should be our rulers. And that's a really a horrible thought. That's a really, I think it's an anti-Christian, coming from a Christian point of view, I think it's an anti-Christian thing to believe.
You are a Christian, right?
I am, I admit.
Talk about your God being kicked off the throne theory. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, the idea, if you think about the story of, you know, of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they pretty much have everything. They're told to multiply, fill the earth, and they're told that they can have.
That sounds fun. I got to say, that sounds fun.
Yeah, no rules. They're naked and they're supposed to fill the earth. That's great. And they're given one rule only. There's a tree, and they're told not to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, they can do anything else. Everything is okay, except to take it upon themselves to make the decision as to what is good and evil. And at some point, the temptation is too much. They take of this fruit of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and literally, in doing so, rather than following the rules of nature that human beings were created to live with, mankind took it upon himself to make up his own rules, his own laws. And so it's no longer, hey, you know, I don't want anybody hitting me, so I'm not going to hit anybody. Instead, you've got humans writing down rules. You cannot hit anyone under these circumstances. You can hit them under these circumstances, but only if it's, and so we, now it's justified for some people to hit some people under certain circumstances.
To enforce those rules, because you can't.
Yeah.
A law without an army or a police force behind it is just a suggestion. And the only way that a law that's written down can be enforced is by authorizing a certain class of people to basically threaten to hit people. And that goes back to, you know, they carry guns, but when you think about it, Boston Tea Party said it really well. A gun is just a modern way of throwing a rock, you know, and that's all it is. It's a little handheld rocket that throws a tiny metal rock at the other guy to hurt him, you know, to hurt him from a distance. And that's what cops carry. They basically carry the right and ability to hit people.
Yeah, and so whoever is now making the law, because at one point, and this is my theology, you know, and somebody who doesn't believe in God or whatever wouldn't necessarily have to accept this, but it's my theology that, you know, God is the lawmaker. All true law comes from God, or from, you know, from the natural settings that God created us into. And so, if God is the true lawmaker, then if I sit down and I decide for myself, you know what? I think it should be illegal for people to wear red tennis shoes. And so I'm going to enforce that law. I'm going to say no one can wear red tennis shoes. Well, by creating my own law, I'm making myself the lawmaker. I am kicking God off the throne as lawmaker, and I am making myself God. I'm putting myself in the position of God, and I'm glorifying myself that I can make those decisions for man.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends on your radio. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And on the other end, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from the Bad Quaker podcast, filling in for Nima Vidati, who's in a FEMA camp for not signing the social contract. And Ben's in Ohio. Ben, how you doing there?
Hey, I'm doing really good, Michael.
Before the break, we were cut off by the central scrutinizer. I think the government didn't like what you were saying, but we can try again. You were talking about men writing laws is kicking God off the throne. Expand on that, as Larry King would say.
So we have God, and however you picture God, you can think of him as a guy sitting on a cloud with a hammer and a lightning bolt, or you can think of God as a, you know, as the forces of nature that create everything around us. However you imagine God, or however you believe God to be, God has established certain rules, certain laws that we live by. And every animal pretty much follows the laws of its species. And if it doesn't, then it finds itself dead, because the laws of its species keep it alive. Well, human beings have natural laws that are specific to human beings. And when a human sits down and decides for themselves, you know what? Those laws are pretty good, but I'm going to make up some new ones. Then what you've essentially done is you have taken God off the throne as the lawgiver. And you've made yourself the lawgiver. You've made yourself a god, or you've made yourself the god. And so that's what humans tend to do. When one human makes up the law and then uses aggression to enforce their opinion of the law upon other people, then you have essentially created an anti-god, or an anti, in my situation being a Christian, you've created an anti-Christ. And in a very real way, That's what that is. You have done that through your belief that that system is correct, because it's really all about faith. You see,
are you saying that Obama is the Antichrist?
No, I would say the belief in that government is good is faith in the Antichrist, and that the Antichrist is a non-person. It's the state itself. It's the very fact that people believe that that aggression is good and that humans can make law.
Now, what do you think about people writing down laws and having an enforcement for biblical things like man shall not lie with another man, or you shan't tattoo your flesh, or you shouldn't eat shellfish or anything like that, or you shouldn't kill?
Right in the same area of the Bible where it's telling you not to have a tattoo or not to, that, you know, all those different rules like you just mentioned, it also says that you are absolutely required to have a handrail around your roof, and that anyone that doesn't have a handrail on their roof should be punished the same way as
there are building codes in the Old Testament. That's what you're basically saying.
Yeah, and when Jesus was asked about all of that stuff, he said essentially, you know, the only true law is to love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart and your soul, and to do unto others as you have them do unto you. And so he summed the whole thing up by saying, well, here's what the real law is. Everything else was written, you know, as a pacifier by Moses. And I don't mean that to insult, you know, anybody's religion or insult Moses, but if he doesn't like it, he can call me up.
Well, wasn't there a new covenant with Jesus that basically abdicated all of the old covenant?
That can be argued theologically in different ways, but essentially that's the typical Christian way of looking at it, as that Jesus was the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. But really, you know, when Jesus was specifically asked about Old Testament law, he essentially said that, you know, to wrap it all up is basically just, you know, love God with all your heart and your mind, love your neighbor as yourself, and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And that's exactly parallel with what people like Carl Hess, that we talked about earlier, when he was talking about, you know, not aggressing on people. It's essentially the same thing, even though, if I recall, Carl was an atheist, but still he believed the same thing, that essentially if humans don't aggress on one another, then they get along. But the institution of aggression is the government. And then I would add to that that belief that the government is legitimate, that's what I refer to as the state. I see it as literally as a religion, as the legitimate belief that government is good and that government can do good. I believe that to be the religion of the state.
And you think that believing in that is kicking God off the throne?
Yeah, precisely. I think that is setting up literally the government as Antichrist, and the idea that the state, this non-entity that we can't go and touch and feel and look at and talk to, that state is the religion of the government.
We're going to go to a call here. We have a caller on the line. It's Corey calling from Minnesota. All right. Do we have Corey there? Hello, Corey. You're on the Freedom Fiends.
Hello?
Hello, Corey.
Yeah.
Corey, where are you listening from?
Minneapolis.
On the radio? On what station?
11:30 a.m.
Cool. In Minneapolis, you say?
Yeah.
Excellent. What do you have to say today?
Well, I think the government should hold the shutdown, not over the Obamacare thing that's already signed into law, but over the debt ceiling increase.
So do you want the government to shut down temporarily or permanently? I'm not understanding.
Well, temporary. Limit increase.
Okay. What would you say to, I'm in agreement with you, but what would you say to someone who says, but what would we do without this service or that service?
We've got along without them before.
What would you replace them with? I'm agreeing with you so far. What would you say you'd want to replace them with?
Replace what with?
The government. Or do you just want it to shut down temporarily What are your demands? That's what I'm asking.
Well, my demand is that we don't borrow any more money.
I'm in agreement with you there. I can't hear you very well. If you can call back on another phone, that'd be good. And thanks for your call there, Corey. Yeah, that was Corey calling in from Minneapolis. I didn't know we reached all the way to Minneapolis. That's why I'm very interested in that.
That kind of goes back to what Ron Paul was saying back in the 2008 and 2012 campaigns, that, you know, to stop the excessive spending, just stop it. And they the other opponents were kind of shocked, like, how could you do that? Well, you just stop it.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Yeah. So how would that play into the biblical idea? Now, what do you think about if the government were to be defunded and reduced to the size where it could be drowned in a bathtub? Would you see any ethical need to do it quickly, slowly, or overnight? Or what about the starving babies and grandmothers? How would you do that?
Well, this goes back to the central planning thoughts. You know, I wouldn't want to sit down and try to design how to shut a government down or how to shut down governments worldwide or anything. I wouldn't want to try to design that because it's self-defeating. It would be me then becoming the government. But I believe I'm a real strong believer in the market. I believe, and by the market, what I mean is, in my terminology, the market is when human beings peacefully agree to exchange this for that, and they want something, so somebody else will provide it at a price, and that's the market. And as long as there are people who want the government to hold their hand, who want the government to pay their doctor bills, and who want the government to take money out of their paycheck and give it to somebody else, as long as there are people who want that, then there's a market for the government, and the government will continue no matter what, you know, no matter how many guns or how many rebels or how many anarchists or whatever, no matter what they do. As long as there's a market for government, there will be government. So I believe it's the task of peaceful people to try to show how we can do all these things without the government. So if I believe that I can get health care without the government's health, without the government's help, then I should put legs to that, go out, talk to my doctor, figure out a way that I can get health care without Obama paying for it or without Obama robbing somebody else to pay for it. And as we put legs on this and as we actually fill the market need, then at some point in time, government will not be necessary. And this is something kind of along the lines of what Henry David Thoreau said, that at some point, government just won't be necessary because humans won't have a need for it.
Thoreau. Yeah, he was an anarchist, and he's someone that's taught to school children as a great poet and literary person. J.R.R. Tolkien was also an anarchist, wasn't he?
He was. Late in his life, he wrote to his son and clarified. He said that he was not the bomb-throwing anarchist that people imagine, but he was more of a political anarchist. And he said that in his point of view, anybody who would want to make laws and be the government for other people is the least likely to be capable of that and certainly shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Excellent. Excellent. And what's the difference between the government and the state? I heard you use those as different things.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can get that in 90 seconds. Before we go to a break and then come back to finish up.
Okay, let me wrap it up like this then. It's, you know, the government is the guys who wear outfits and they deliver your mail and they enforce laws and they kick in your door when you have the wrong substance or they go march into some other country. But the state is that condition in people's minds when they think that all of that stuff is actually legitimate and necessary. And so the state is a condition of mind. Whereas the government is the actual people in the activities.
And if the state disappeared overnight, the belief in it, how long would the government exist?
If there was no market demand for the government would be gone within moments. But the people, the whole key is whether or not there's a market demand for it.
Excellent description. All right, Ben Stone. on the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back right after this break with a caller.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom Fiends, which basically means a fiend for freedom. Fiend is how little kids and rappers say fiend. And this is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends radio show. And my co-host for the day and tomorrow is Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing there, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker?
Worms. How you doing, Mike?
Worms. That's how we say word, too. Yeah, we're kind of hip-hoppy, but I'm kind of a weird square old punk rocker guy. And then Nima, our co-host, is the rapper. He's the one who did Obama's Feet Stink and A Gun for Everyone and some other great rap videos that we used in the Guns and Weed movie. But we actually have a caller here, and we're going to go to the call. We got a call from Ramon calling in from Miami. Can you hear me there, Ramon?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I'm coming in good.
Yeah, man. And you like the Freedom Fiends, huh?
Yeah, I love it, actually, man, because I'm a freedom fighter myself. I'm all about liberty and justice for all. So when I heard you guys with a show called Freedom Fiends, I was like, yeah, definitely. I'm gonna be a follower of these guys.
Excellent, excellent. What's on your mind today, Ramon?
Actually, I've been listening, and the last caller, he had a great point about what are we going to do after the government, you know, shuts down. Because obviously it's pretty inevitable when you're $17 trillion in the hole, when you're borrowing money from communist regimes and you don't have any infrastructure to manufacture anything.
Yep.
It's pretty obvious that eventually, it may not be in our lifetime, but, you know, our kids and grandkids are going to feel the wrath of, you know, these bankers and these industries that don't care anything about the little man. All they care about is profitability.
Absolutely.
So what I was thinking was, people like ourselves have to be on the front line in any disaster. We don't have to wait for the Red Cross or the government to show their phony love for the people when we know we have genuine, unconditional love for everyone. So we should be the ones, when any disaster happens, whether it be an economic collapse or some false flag or even some real terrorist attack or whatever it may be, we should be the ones trying to piece together what we need to do to come together as one unit, peaceful, loving individuals who love liberty and freedom, and make it go on. We have to come together and move on, because if we dwell on any disaster, any misfortune that we may have, and let these fake, wannabe, helpful people that put on this front and make us think they care about us, but all they care about is their pockets and themselves, then we're going to be in the same situation we've been since after World War One and beyond.
Absolutely.
It happens every time.
Absolutely, man. You make more sense than any politician I've ever heard, which is why I hope you never run for office, because you speak too much truth. I don't think you'd make it.
Yeah, I got brothers in the military, and when I was a kid, I used to tell them I wanted to be a politician, but they told me it wouldn't work because I didn't lie good enough. I wasn't good enough of a liar, and I didn't believe my own lies.
So what do you do for kicks, man? What's fun in Miami? What do you like to do?
We got a pretty good, like, college football team. I like I like sports. I grew up in sports. So I try, you know, when I am in the Matrix, I'll keep it on, you know, college football, high school football. We got a good infrastructure down here. But other than that, man, so many people brainwashed by the music and this false entertainment reality show world that they're creating, that nobody really interacts with anybody anymore. You don't see it how it was back in the days where everybody was a community and we all got together loving one another. Everything's about, you know, coming up and, you know, just just money and just nobody really cares about each other anymore. The love is gone, man. I don't know if it's all across the country, but I know down here it's like people are just self-centered and materialistic. They don't care about anything, man. I got a one-year-old unvaccinated daughter, and my life revolves around her, man. I'm chilling with my goddaughter today. Like, I'm only 24. I'll be 25 in October, but I think I got a pretty good sense of what's real and what's not.
I think you do, too, man. I think you do, too, man.
Kardashian's baby and stuff like that just really doesn't affect me. Like, you know, $17 trillion in the hole. So, you know, I try to be informed and help my community, man, because I notice a lot of shows, they don't really reach out to, you know, low-income communities. But I'm trying to branch out and show them we're the ones that need it the most.
Yeah, I like your rap, man. I like what you're saying. You're into liberty and you're into love. And a lot of people forget about the love, man. Where's the love? And that's it on the Freedom Fiends today. We'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Ben Stone. Thank you very much for calling in, Ramon from Miami. And it's been good. It's been real. And say goodbye, Ben. Say worms, Ben.
Worms.
Yeah. On the Freedom Fiends. FreedomFiends.com if you want more.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.